Welcome to the deep dive. I'm really excited today to get into a topic that, well, I think touches a lot of people: protection from traps and pestilence. Our deep dive today is grounded in some fascinating insights from the Faith Themes GP podcast. We're looking specifically at episode 3 of their Psalm 91 Global Healing series.
Right, though I'm focusing just on verse 3 of Psalm 91.
Exactly. And our mission really is to unpack that verse. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. We want to explore how the source material interprets this, look at the real-world examples they give, and pull out the key takeaways for you.
And it's interesting, isn't it? The desire for protection from dangers you can't always see, from challenges that feel overwhelming, it's universal.
It really is.
And this verse, especially how Faith Themes GP presents it to, you know, a global audience, it seems to tap right into that deep human need for safety, for security, in a world that often feels, well, pretty unpredictable.
That definitely sets the stage. So let's zoom in on one word the podcast really highlights right at the start: surely.
Ah, yes, surely.
They make a big point that this isn't maybe or hopefully. They say it means absolute certainty. A guaranteed intervention, I think, was the phrase they used.
That's right. And that certainty, as they interpret it, is foundational. It's not just a hopeful wish.
So it changes the whole tone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They present it as this solid promise, specifically for those who, in their words, dwell in God's presence. So that interpretation really sets up the kind of powerful protection they're discussing.
Okay, got it. So let's unpack the first part of that promise, the fowler's snare. Now, literally, a fowler was a bird catcher, right? Setting hidden traps.
Yes, silent traps. Hidden. Deceptive.
But the Faith Themes GP podcast really brings this into the modern day metaphorically. Yeah. How do they see these snares showing up in our lives now?
Well, they identify quite a few things. It's not just literal traps, obviously.
Right.
They talk about things like temptation that looks like a great opportunity, or emotional manipulation. The debt traps are mentioned too.
Oh, debt traps. Yeah, those can feel inescapable.
Definitely. And addictions. Toxic relationships.
Yeah.
Even those really destructive mental spirals people get into. The kind that keep you feeling stuck, you know.
It's like the trap evolves, but the core idea hidden in snaring remains.
Precisely. And they connect this directly to scripture too. They reference 2 Timothy 2.26.
What does that say?
It talks about escaping the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. So this frames it, according to the source, as more than just bad luck.
So it's positioned as a kind of spiritual battle against these things that try to, well, capture us.
That seems to be the perspective, yes. These aren't just random difficulties, but actual snares.
And here's something else they stressed. Getting free from these traps, it's not by your strength or your own cleverness.
Mm-hmm, not by your own wit.
It's presented specifically as by his protection. That really shifts the focus, doesn't it?
It does. It emphasizes reliance on something outside of oneself for deliverance.
And to make this really concrete, episode 3 shares this incredible story. They called it a South America highlight, about a man named Paulo from Brazil.
Paulo's story, yes. Quite something.
Yeah, I mean, his background. Deep in gang life, drug trafficking as a teenager, arrested at 18. He felt like, you know, life was over.
A really desperate situation.
Totally. But then, in prison, he finds a Bible, and specifically Psalm 91, verse 3, he will save you from the fowler's snare. And that verse just hit him.
It resonated deeply, as the source describes it.
It became the turning point, a complete transformation. And now, he actually runs a youth rehab program.
Helping kids avoid the very traps he fell into.
Exactly. It's such a powerful illustration of what the podcast calls that promised intervention.
It really drives home how relevant these ancient metaphors still feel, doesn't it? Speaking to very real struggles like addiction, destructive lifestyles.
Yeah. And it highlights that idea of recognizing the trap and accepting, well, a different kind of help.
Moving beyond just relying on yourself, as you said earlier.
Now, the podcast also flags something specific they called a mental trap alert.
Ah, the internal ones.
Yeah, that insidious lie that says, you're not enough. You'll never change. You're a failure. They identify this as a trap designed to stop you from, like, reaching your potential or purpose.
And it's so dangerous because it comes from within, right? It attacks your sense of self.
Totally. But what's interesting is the counter message the source presents, a direct declaration. You are enough, you are seen, you are covered by the Most High.
Powerful words. And they back this up too, referencing Isaiah 43.1.
What's the connection there?
Well, that verse says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. So the podcast uses this to show how that counter message is meant to break the mental trap by asserting, you know, your true identity and belonging within that framework of divine protection.
Okay, breaking the mental trap with a declaration of truth. Got it. Let's shift gears then to the second part of the verse. And from the deadly pestilence.
Right, pestilence.
The Faith Beams GP podcast defines this pretty straightforwardly. First plague, epidemic, widespread disease, things that affect whole communities.
Yes, the classic understanding. But then they broaden it out significantly.
How so?
They argue that pestilence isn't just physical sickness. It also includes emotional and spiritual sicknesses.
Like what? What kind of examples do they give?
Things like pervasive fear, deep depression, social division, even generational trauma. They bring up modern examples too, like COVID, Zika, but also the global mental health crisis.
Wow. Okay. So pestilence can be these invisible things that spread and cause widespread harm too.
That's the interpretation they put forward. Yeah. Things that afflict us deeply, even if they aren't viruses in the traditional sense.
And the material is really clear here. God promises deliverance from this too. They actually say Psalm 91 is a covenant, not just a superstition.
Implying a binding promise, a serious commitment, not just wishful thinking. It's a strong claim about its nature.
It is, and they share more stories here, too. Another case study from episode 3 featured a nurse, Sharon, from Guyana.
Nurse Sharon in New Amsterdam, yes, working right on the front lines.
Exactly, witnessing so much suffering, and she started praying Psalm 91 over her patients, but also for herself.
It must have been incredibly frightening for healthcare workers then.
For sure. She said she is scared, but before every single shift, she would declare out loud, God, you will save me from pestilence.
And what happened, according to the source?
She reported that she never caught the virus herself, and she saw many patients she prayed for recover. She even called the verse her vaccine of faith.
A vaccine of faith. That's a powerful image.
Isn't it? And there's one more, Alicia, a children's ministry leader in rural Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay.
Her community got hit hard by dengue fever. Lots of fear, people getting sick.
Dengue can be really serious, especially for kids.
Right. So Alicia taught the children in her ministry, Psalm 91, verse 3. And they started every session declaring together, surely he will save us.
Declaring it together as a group.
Yes. And the outcome they reported was astonishing. By the time the outbreak subsided, not a single child from their ministry group had ended up hospitalized.
Wow.
Alicia's conclusion, as shared in the podcast, was simple. God was our shield.
These stories, Sharon's and Alicia's, as Faith Beams GP presents them, really highlight this idea of, well, active application, don't they?
Active? How do you mean?
I mean, it's not just passively believing. It's the act of praying, of declaring the verse out loud, especially in the face of these huge, frightening situations like pandemics or epidemics.
So the action, the declaration, is part of it.
It seems intrinsically linked in these accounts to the protection they experienced. Mm-hmm. They weren't just waiting. They were actively engaging with the promise, participating in their protection, you could say.
That's a really interesting angle. So wrapping up this deep dive, it seems the Faith Beams GP podcast presents Psalm 91.3 as this incredibly comprehensive promise.
Definitely seems that way.
Covering both those metaphorical Fowler's snares, the hidden emotional, spiritual, mental traps, and the deadly pestilence, which they interpret broadly to include physical disease, but also things like widespread fear and division.
And the core message woven through it all is one of assured deliverance. Grounded in that word, surely.
A compelling interpretation, for sure.
Which leaves us, perhaps, with something to think about. A final thought for you, the listener, to consider.
Okay.
If the act of daily declaration, that personal connection to ancient texts, like we saw with Paulo, Sharon, and Alicia in the source material, if that can lead to such, well, profound experiences of protection from threats, both seen and unseen.
Yeah.
What might that suggest about the connection, maybe an often overlooked connection, between our own inner conviction and our external reality? Something to mull over, perhaps.